Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started and do a customary good evening. Can always tell when y'all do a lot of food, you get real relaxed. That or maybe it's the nice cool snap. So I noticed this week y'all didn't break out in any pretty colors for me to pick out and, you know, point out folks. I want you to remember this date at the end of August or the end of July and the beginning of August, because right now everybody's wearing coats and it's freezing outside and it hadn't been above 40 degrees, but end of July and first part of August, it's going to be 100, you're going to be sweating, you're going to be in shorts and sandals. So, you know, this one little small time period that we get some cold weather, just enjoy the fact that it's cold for like 2 days. So there, isn't there something in every day that you can look back on and think, you know what, as crummy of a day as I've had, you know, I had this go well, this went well, this was okay. Anybody believe that you can do that? No matter how bad your day is, that you can have three good things. So relish the fact that it's cold and that you get to wear a coat and a sweater. Think about being able to be grateful about things. So we've been on this journey in our class about recognizing different aspects of our life, real life, the way that we live every day, the activities we're involved with every day, and how that involves our purpose, our passion, our life, and really trying to refocus all these aspects of our life and the way that we live, refocus those back on Christ. And we've done that from looking at what we communicate at home, and I'm going to do this every time, looking about what we communicate at home and just in our everyday lives with our possessions, the way our homes are arranged, all the different things. We've also done that with honest conversation about looking inward at what our congregation says to folks when they visit, what we say to one another as members and as existing members, longtime members, new members. And last week we spent a great deal of time talking about outward focus and the fact that we really do have a life worth living. The fact that we really do have a message that's worth folks changing their lives about, and that we really do have our own unique story, that God has shaped our lives, He's molded our lives, He's impacted our lives, and we can share that with those around us. And all of those have been coupled with the idea of, I said earlier, about the way I'm trying to approach the class about purpose and life. So tonight I'd like to guide our minds to a personal place. Not that these haven't been personal, but to a personal place. And I'm going to ask you a question about yourself. What are you good at? What are you good at? Not what do people tell you you're good at, but what do you, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you go to work, whenever you're involved in activities, what is something that you know you're really good at? What are your talents? What are your gifts? And similarly, how do you use them? Tonight I want us to talk about recognizing and using gifts. Acknowledge what we're given, acknowledge what we have, acknowledge what excites us, acknowledge what we're talented at, and then talk about how we use them. So there's this thought process out there about, I've heard it in particular, mainly with sales folks. And maybe you've heard this, the rule of 20, or maybe the Pareto principle. 20% of people get 80% of the results. It's not an uncommon thing that I've heard. And as I think about that, that 20% of the people get 80% of the results, and likewise, there are tasks that each of those folks in the 20% category, they're each a task that they do that they don't excel at everything that they do, but there are some things that they do incredibly well. So there are some areas that each person is involved with that generates the best results. No matter where you find yourself in that breakdown, there are things that we excel at, we're exceptional at, we're excited about. And there are some other areas where, truth be told, we probably shouldn't be doing them because we're just that bad. Or they discourage us so much that whenever we think about doing them, we don't take any action. We don't do anything with them. And they're probably tasks that would be better off delegated to other folks. Now, this focus on those areas and discussing about this can lead us in a couple different ways. But what I would like us to do is to think about this thought process, that if there are areas in your life that you're very talented at, you're naturally talented at it, or you're very skilled at it and you've worked at it for a long time, the chances of you not just being exceptional at those, but greatness, all-time great, the potential is greater starting from a place of greatness than it is from starting a place that you're not very good at. And so you could use the same effort, the same time, perhaps, to get to just average because of where you start in some areas. Maybe you're not very talented or very skilled. And so there's a thought process out there that suggests that if you're below average in something, the best you could ever be, perhaps, with lots of time and lots of effort, is average. And so there's something that I'd like us to discuss tonight is, if there are things that we're obviously talented at, things that we are very good at, and if we focus on those things, what could we accomplish? What could we be capable of doing? So I said that there are some ramifications to the thought process, but have you ever thought about your own strengths? And when I was thinking about this, I thought about focus time. And some times in my life where I carved out significant time and I did some pretty cool stuff and had great results. It was in things I was interested in and things that I have some talent in, things that I'm passionate about, and the results were phenomenal. And there are some other folks out in the world that are discussing those things. So I want you to think tonight about your own strengths. When you look at your life, what are my own strengths? And as we do that, we're going to look at a couple of stories. We're going to start with Peter. And what I would like us to do as we talk about some different characters, I want you to tell me some good things about Peter. All right, so the first one we're going to start off with is in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. What is, while you're turning there, somebody tell me, what's one thing that Peter's known for? Okay, very passionate. How is that passion revealed to us? He takes action. He just gets after it. He's got his whole heart out there, and sometimes he doesn't maybe think as well as we think he could have. He says some things, perhaps. He takes some action that, wow, when we think about him, that's pretty bold. So let's look at Matthew chapter 16, starting verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Now, we normally go on and we read about that, some other things that about the capstone, or the building block, the foundation. And we normally, when we talk about Peter, we also reference the fact that he walked on water. What's something not so great that we think about when we think about Peter? Denial. All right, so let's turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. I can't even begin to imagine the emotions and all the stirring up with inside of Peter as he sees Jesus carried off, as he sees everything going on before him, and then, you know, what fears he must have experienced while folks were trying to associate him rightfully with Jesus, and him going outside and weeping bitterly. Just coming apart. Now, I want you to think for a moment, knowing what we do about Peter, I want you to think about something. Who spoke on the day of Pentecost to the crowds that were gathered? Peter. Peter was outspoken. He was bold. He took action. We know that he denied Christ. But can you imagine that if Peter took those talents and those skill set and the things that he had learned and just shut it all down? He just shut it down. And he didn't go out and speak on the day of Pentecost to those where folks were baptized and called out, "What must we do to be saved?" Now, of course, we can conjecture all types of things, right, about what would have taken place had Peter... Yes. Yeah. So there's certainly some things that I'd like to explore with what you're talking about, Richard, as far as, you know, the fact that Peter wept bitterly to me implies some soul searching, and then the boldness with which the disciples went out on the day of Pentecost. So think about your strengths and think about your talents and imagine a world without Peter. Imagine a world without Peter speaking out, without the letters that we have from Peter. Imagine a world just absent of him, teaching, setting examples. I want us to look for just a brief moment at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In this section, we read about Peter addressing the crowd. And It's all of these things, the way that he relates to people, the way that he talks. Starting in verse 14, he says, "Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd." Just before verse 15, he says, "Listen carefully to what I say. These men aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." Then he goes through and he quotes a prophet. And then down in verse 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." He talks about the resurrection. In verse 24, God raised him from the dead. In verse 29, he references David, saying confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb's here. And he goes on and persists telling them exactly what had taken place, that they crucified Christ. Knowing what we know about Peter, how do we describe him? What took place after the Pentecost, after the day on Pentecost? What did Peter go out and do? Did Peter travel the world? Did he go out and teach to Jews and Gentiles? Yes or no? So he taught. Do you think our world would be different without him? I'm begging the question, very deliberately. Of course, David, it is undeniable our world would be different. It's undeniable. All right, how about Timothy? Completely different circumstances, completely different situation, but what about Timothy? What's unique about Timothy? Maybe it's unique, maybe it's not. To me, it's unique. What do we know about Timothy? Okay, he wanted to do right. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, we're introduced to Timothy. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. What do we know about Timothy? He knew the scripture, and he was taught by his mom and grandma. His dad was what? Greek. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we talk about Peter and we talk about the apostles being ordinary folks, fishermen that walked and talked with Jesus. And what I want to point out to you tonight, and that I believe will clearly demonstrate tonight, is if God has these circumstances and these situations that we all find ourselves in, and Timothy was uniquely qualified to help serve and spread the gospel. Uniquely qualified. It's pretty interesting when we look at Jewish history. How well do you think folks were received to have a Jewish person and a Greek person married? Well received, not well received. Sorry? Okay. All right. So Timothy was uniquely qualified. Timothy was uniquely qualified. What did Timothy and Paul go on to do? All right. So, So Timothy has a background that allows him to relate to people. He has all the Jewish teachings. He ends up being circumcised. I don't know if I would really look forward to signing up to be circumcised at a later stage in life. Thank goodness you can't remember. I don't think that would be a fun thing to go through. You know, I can't help but see the way that folks were compelled to act. And Timothy left his family, and he traveled. He was circumcised, and he traveled, and he presented the gospel with Paul. And we can read about Paul's journeys. Yes. So he took one for the team. He said, willingly did it. Wasn't forced. So when we talk about these things and we talk about our lives and we talk about all of our backgrounds, is it possible that God still has unique situations and characteristics in all of our lives to help us relate? I believe that we have unique situations that we've grown up with and life experiences that are there to help us to relate to one another. Talked briefly about my background a little bit last week, and those of you that I've shared a little bit here and there about my background. But I believe that we go through life for a reason. I believe that God's going to use people to reach people for His glory. And I have yet to meet somebody that has the same exact journey through life. We may have similar situations, we may have similar backgrounds, we may have similar life experiences, but I haven't met anybody that the journey and the map has been the same. But I have met people that have been on a journey and along this path that were able to help me because of something that they had experienced. And they were able to encourage me because of something they experienced. If you look back from Acts chapter 16 and skip back to Acts chapter 15, prior to Paul taking Timothy alongside of him, who did he have with him? Sorry? Silas? All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. How important is it that we look at the strengths and characteristics of people? What do we know about Barnabas? Anybody want to humor me? Son of encouragement? Generous? Could we use Barnabas today? How many of us need some encouragement? You're lying if you don't need some encouragement sometime. Imagine a world without Barnabas. Imagine a world without Timothy, without Paul, anybody. Did they have the same exact characteristics or strengths? We don't call Paul the son of encouragement. I want to talk about folks, and their skills, and their talents, and their abilities. You know, here at this congregation, there's a particular person that that every time I see them, they encourage me or my wife. Every time I see them, they have something positive and encouraging to say. And I love it. I love getting that fill up and that burst of encouragement, that positive feedback. And they don't have to do it, but they choose to. The reason I want to talk about these things is sometimes I think we're afraid. Sometimes I think we're unaware. I'd also like to briefly make an illustration based on some pro football. Does anybody watch professional football? It's okay. All right, so this past year, there's a quarterback in San Francisco that started, and there's a quarterback that finished the season as a starter. And the point and the illustration I want to make is that there's somebody that the coaches felt served the team better and had better talents and abilities. And after watching them grow throughout the season and perform and continue to perform, they no longer had the excuse to not start the person. So they chose to continue starting them. And set some interesting statistical numbers doing that. His name's Colin Kaepernick. Maybe somebody can say it better than I can, but that's the best I've got. But I find it fascinating that when folks see talent, they see ability, it's hard for them to put it away. It's hard for them to know what could be and what the outcomes could be and to see it waste away. Imagine knowing the talent and potential exist. And I want you to think back in your lifetime to somebody that you look up to. Think back in your lifetime to somebody that you look up to. They could be famous, not famous, family, not family. And looking at their life, somebody that you admire greatly, you have a significant amount of respect for, and seeing all the things that they've done and the way that they impacted your life, and then imagine your world without them. Ever impacted you? Having never done the things that they did, no relationship with you at all, just like they never existed. Their talents, their skills, their abilities, their encouragement, whatever it is, imagine that that was forever gone from your life. To me, that's what our talent and our abilities and our growth as individuals is like if we don't use it. If we don't use those things that God has given us strengths for, an ability for, excitement for, passion for, it's like they never existed. Why have them? Why be there? Anybody, I referenced him a few times before, but Zig Ziglar, right? So I've referenced him a few times. Imagine motivation and sales without that guy being involved. Just a thought that I've had. You know, I like his stuff. I read his stuff. I listen to his stuff. Encourages me. And I'm not the only person. But imagine his mouth was sealed up and he never got to share the things that he shared to all the people that he shared. What are we doing? How do we describe one another? How do we evaluate ourselves? So let's continue with these thoughts as we evaluate ourselves. What are you good at? What are you talented at? What excites you? It's one of the things we talked about at the beginning of these courses is we may talk about some things that are no interest to you at all, and we may talk about some things that really excite you. You know what? I like getting to teach. I like getting to talk to you in this format. I love going to other places in talking to folks in a public setting. That fires me up. I get encouragement from it. I learn from it. It's something that excites me. Some of us here tonight are engineers. Some of you really like being engineers, I think. It's okay if you're one of those folks. I'm not really all that excited about math and science. And I work in an industry that relies heavily on engineering. Some of you folks are in sales. Some of you folks are involved in sales. Some folks are consultants. They help advise companies on strategies and planning. Some folks are retired. Some folks are electricians. Some folks are event coordinators. Some are writers. Some are photographers. We've got a lot of talent. Right? If you look around here, we've got a lot of talent. Did you realize that you're sitting next to talented people, some of the most talented people in the world? Seriously. You ever stop and think about that? We have surgeons. We have retired MDs. We have practicing MDs. We have nurses. We have folks that are leaders in their industry. Very, very talented folks. They're good at what they do, right? Any of you good at what you do? It's okay. Nobody's good. Oh, I got a lot more work to do. Okay, we got one person that's good at what they do. I'm here to tell you right now, some of you are really exceptional at what you do professionally. I don't know all of you, so I don't know if that's the case, but I know some of you are, and I know you're exceptionally talented. Some of you work really hard, and you do that, and you're exceptionally good at it, but you don't really like it. You just do it because you got to, or you had to, or you made a decision at some point. So, David, why do you go around all this stuff? I believe that we have these talents, that we have these abilities, we have these things that feed this inside of us. And those things can allow us to serve God in amazing ways. I want you to think about our congregation. What is our congregation involved with? Outreach. Okay, outreach. What are some talents and skills that we need in outreach? Ask for money. All right. So sales, in some ways, right? Yeah, we're selling the gospel. We are. Do you need folks that are good at relationship building? Does that help? Do we need folks that can help folks understand what some perceive as something complicated? To help break it down, to understand? Do we need folks that can teach, that like teaching? No? What else are we involved with? What's that?
Spreading the word.
Heard another one? Fellowship. All right. Where's an elder? Help me out. What do we do? Education. Mission work. There are a host of things. Do we do it all based on our talent, or do we use some money to help with those things too? Talent and money, right? Time. Those are all resources we use and we spread. So I want you to think for a moment about all these professional experiences we have. We got folks that are in marketing. Does a church need marketing? Do we need branding? Do we need to know and how to promote things and those? Do we need folks to help balance the books? Right, we're trying to build a new building, and Elton, yes, we need lots of, we need skills and talents and things that excite people. We need your help, right? How many of us are good at every single thing that we've ever tried in our life? We're not, right? We could reference the Lord's body and talking about fingers and hands and feet and hearts and brains. We all have these talents and we all have these abilities. And you know what? We got lots of stuff we could be doing with those in addition to the way that we work. So we got two families, right, that I've been seeing in the bulletin. I don't have the bulletin with me, but two families that are leading a class on something that's very personal to a lot of folks. Anybody know what it is? And two families you're not allowed to answer. So we got a class coming up. Money management, all right? So now said folks that are involved with that, you can answer some questions too. How easy is it to talk about your personal finances with strangers? Anybody like doing that? How many of you like talking personal finances with folks you know? Most of the time when it comes to our pocketbook, right, our bank accounts, our debt levels, whatever it is, we get pretty quiet. It's not an easy job to facilitate those kind of conversations, but we have at least two folks that I'm aware of, two families that want to talk about those things and have a class to do it. To me, that tells me that folks are probably interested in leading those kind of conversations. We've got other folks that are involved in teaching others how to teach the gospel. We have folks that teach Bible class. And what I want to challenge you tonight is to think about, you know what? We're not asking every single person to come up here and preach a sermon. We're not asking folks, how many of you want to study guys that have passed away that wrote songs? Anybody that excites you? We got somebody that, man, that just lights them up. Seriously. Now, how many people in the world like to do that? I'm not trying. It's exciting. There's something that drives him to do it. And it shows in the way that he teaches us about music and he talks to us about what they were going through and the way he leads singing and the way that he demands excellence from us when it comes to singing as a congregation. Man, that's fire. That's excitement. It's something that he loves. What about you? What about me? What fires you up? What excites you? What talents and things has God given you an interest and an ability in that you can impact the entire world and people you come into contact with so that he can be glorified? Because you have it in you. He didn't waste his time when you were born. He created you. He designed you. You have a unique personality. You have unique traits. You have unique life experiences. And the opportunities where we sit are limitless.
You know what Dale Carnegie says in his course? In order to be enthusiastic, I might have this wrong, but it's close. You got to be enthusiastic, you got to act enthusiastic. In other words, if you just do it, sometimes it happens.
Anything that you guys are enthusiastic about? Anybody have something they're enthusiastic about? I see one head shake. Corey, what are you enthusiastic about?
I like talking to people that are trying to bring the scriptures to life some way, somehow, and connect the gospel.
Imagine a world without somebody that likes doing that. Imagine the youth activities around here. If you had somebody that could care less about the way the scriptures connected and excited about helping that come to life in people. All right, turn over to Ephesians Ephesians. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read, starting in verse 8. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what God prepared in advance for us to do. So, I can look back and see the clock says it's just about 8 o'clock. But I want to challenge you to look inside your lives and realize that God is an amazing craftsman, and he didn't do shoddy work on you. He spent time invested in you. And we've got awesome stuff inside of us, and talents and skills and capacities, and all these things can work for his glory. We were created in God's image for good works. Do you realize the amount and how much we can impact the world with what we've been given? I want you to think about that this week. Thank you so much for your time and the opportunity to visit with you.